The gospel lesson this morning. In summation, as found in the insert, they said, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus exhorts his followers to embrace standards of righteousness that exceed legal requirements and traditional expectations. I've read that and immediately came to mind that during the last several months and for the next half a year or so, it will be dominated by a year of politics. After all, it is a big and important national election. And what I'm having to say is not towards any party, but you know, perhaps for the political junkie, this year will be particularly involving and noteworthy. Of course, this is even more so since the nation is so divided by extremism, both from the right and left, that some would say we are on the brink of insurrection. For whatever side you are on, or if you are caught somewhere in between, you see the stakes as being extremely high for the future of the nation. The problem is that politicians, as being a politician, you are high for the future of this nation. The problem is that politicians, the very people who we support and vote for, have gotten us into this situation. Both sides. In trying to be elected, they not only sell themselves to the highest bidder, but also make false proclamations and promises. Politics as usual, or maybe even more so. It is difficult not to see hypocrisy playing out, especially during election time. They create a world in which they want you to believe what is true is not true, and what is not true to be truth. Society survives by the adoption of certain truths to help keep them from chaos. These truths are to be found in constitutions and laws. When the motivation to follow these standards and laws come in the way of one's own desires, wishes, fortunes, or power, they become a falsity in life and seen as no longer valid. If allowed to go unchecked, society and governments begin to crumble. It is a sign that personal motivation becomes one of the self-enhancement with no regards for others. Frightfully and regrettably, many people and those in the political arena are increasingly undermining standards and laws which they may get in their way of their own self-interest. They and their actions are taken regardless of what effect and damage they do to society as a whole. But in their campaigns, they shout hypocritically from the highest how they endorse the laws and standards of the nation. The tragedy is that it becomes difficult to determine what is true and what is false. Now, when you consider what's new, history reveals that time and time ago, and again, societies and nations have fallen when governing powers lost any motivation to protect its citizens by following its established laws and standards. They're no longer motivated by them. This is the basic message which Jesus presents in our gospel lesson this morning. To the Jew, the law was central to their relationship with God. To live their life according to the law was what was supreme. They were so consumed by living according to the law that they had to keep defining and redefining the law until it became overwhelmingly detailed and restrictive. It became almost humanly impossible to comprehend it all. Today, these laws, which began as man's oral interpretations, now fill volumes of books. The problem became and is that there was just a few, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, who interpreted these many laws according to their own interests and wishes, and then proclaimed how righteous they were in following the law. But many of their motivations in their interpretation were for motivation that was for the glorification of themselves and for the others. Their inner being was far from being motivated by the basic principles and reasons behind the law. The law was being followed on a superficial level for show in front of others and ritualistic before God. Perhaps this did accomplish bringing about some semblance of order in society, which can be viewed as a good thing. But time and time again, we have evidence that when living according to the law, without any personal commitment to it, for this reason, and this reason alone, it was only superficial, and falls into ruin when any evidence of the law breaks down. We see this at times of natural disasters, when law enforcement is extremely limited. Laws become sidetracked, and rioting and looting often rear their ugly heads. There is no depth of commitment to the law. We see it when justice becomes corrupt and unequally administered. There is little motivation to live under the law at this point. When the law and its interpretation is just left to a few who are motivated by their own self-interest, the law is without foundation. It becomes extremely hypocrisy when the few see themselves outside the law or standards, and they proclaim that they are the upholders of the law. This is exactly what Jesus saw in how the law is handed to Moses in the Ten Commandments was being lived. So in his first teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus became revolutionary in what he said. It was not enough to just follow the law out of social necessity or even out of the misconceived acts of religious obligations or rituals. He said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with your brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to counsel." He then added, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery." He then goes on to discuss divorce and swearing falsely in the same manner. It's all about motivation. What motivates you? This was very revolutionary, since it placed the true importance of the law not upon the law itself, but the total meaning behind the law. The importance is what the law was founded upon, and that this foundation must be that motivation in life, not the law itself. It is this unseen basis of law which drives all actions in life and is who we really are. It dictates how we view and treat our fellow human beings and view our relationship with God. Jesus' concept of the law dramatically laid the foundation as to what his forthcoming message from God would be. The message he would proclaim would be the fulfillment of the law. And this fulfillment, which he would live and proclaim, was that of love. Love is the basis and the foundation of the law which God gave to Moses. If the basis and foundation is lived, then all love is being fulfilled. With love governing life, then there is no desire to hurt, to demean, to destroy, to deceive one another in any way. With love being the both basic motivation in life, then there is no need to be told what is right or wrong. You will do it. You will do the right thing. Law then becomes a tool of society and not a tool of our relationship with God and each other. Jesus had said he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And this is exactly what he did when he stated his summation of the law. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This is the distinction between law and gospel. The law is externally applied to life and is an obligation to be eternally followed and motivated by the threat of external judgment. The gospel, on the other hand, is motivated internally through one's heart, one's mind, and one's soul by the compulsion of love. It is living by the gospel. It's living by love, which is a true indicator of who we really are. For it gets beyond the surface of being skin deep. Laws and standards in society are a necessity when they are created to protect and enhance the lives of each other. They can only be effective when they are lived out of the motivation of love. If only love would be the motivation behind the politicians and their actions, we would not be a nation so divided, facing so much uncertainty. Without love, they are just a noisy bell, a clanging cymbal of hypocrisy. We must always remember that the results of any action we may take are the reflection of how we are motivated over and against what we may say that we believe. Hopefully, we may not just be another hypocritical politician, a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing. But you know, the good news is that with God's love, we can make a difference so that life will be better for others. That's the good news. We have love to share, and that love can make a difference if we let it. Amen.